prophet Jeremiah speaks here in the last days of Judah's survival. He's been made a prisoner of King Zedekiah. He wouldn't do what the king wanted him to do. He wouldn't say what the king wanted him to say. So the king made him a prisoner. Outside the city, the Babylonian army is camped at the gates of Jerusalem, ready at any moment to enter the city and utterly destroy it. But in the midst of this scene of despair comes the word of the Lord to his servant Jeremiah. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. God gave him this word of hope, a word of encouragement for the future, a word of cure for the curse that afflicts all human beings, all of them. These words were needed when God gave them to Jeremiah, and they're still needed. We live in a day of rampant immorality. We're talking about that fellow when parents try to sell their children like a stray dog. It's a wicked age. People think young folks today are hooked on drugs. I got news towards people our age that are hooked on drugs. We're the ones that are teaching them how to use them. This is a world that's cursed and corrupt behavior is just an ordinary thing, an accepted thing. I listen to people and I just don't know what they're thinking. I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled The Curse and Its Cure. The curse of sin is found in every human heart. The biggest rascal that you can see or imagine has sin in his heart. And the most perfect little child, innocent though we may think they be, have enough depravity in them to destroy the world. There is in this verse a threefold description of every human being's natural condition. The human heart by nature is corrupted by the presence of iniquity. It's not something that you do, it's something that you are. The human heart is corrupted in nature by the presence of sin. Because of iniquity in our soul, we have sin in our hearts. And the human heart is corrupted in nature by the presence of transgression. Because we have iniquity in our mind and sin in our souls, we have transgressions in our life. The curse of iniquity is found in every mortal heart, everybody here, and not one of you that's innocent. Iniquity is a word that means to be twisted or warped. Buddy does metal work, and he heats metal, and he twists it sometimes and forms it in different ways. That's what that word iniquity means. It means to be twisted. And people are twisted. It means to be bent from your proper position. Things get bent sometimes. And they're not much good. This thing of iniquity is a twisting and warping and wrenching of God's declared purpose. Man will not do what God told him to do. That's the tenet of our hearts. Wicked. The curse of sin is found in every mortal life. People are sinners not because they sin, as people think, but they sin because they're sinners. That man's a terrible sinner. What makes you say that? Well, look at all the wicked things he does. It's got nothing to do with it. That woman is such an innocent human being. Got nothing to do with it. By nature, we're all sinners. Sin means to miss the mark that's been established and required by God. Only one person ever kept God's law. And we nailed him to a cross. Sin is to fail to reach the standard that God has set for humanity. There's a standard. Do you keep standards? I'm sure all of you drive 54 miles an hour. 69 on the interstates. You don't and I don't. And that's just a casual representation of our hearts. Sin is to fail to reach that standard. It causes us to miss all the targets that we aim at for ourselves. I don't know about you. I think I do. But I suspicion that you're like me. There have been times in your life when you said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to get me a new path. I'm going to walk different. And before you know it, you're doing the same old thing. The curse of transgression that he mentions here is found in every mortal soul, every one of them. To transgress means to rebel against God's decree. God says do something and you don't do it, you are a transgressor. You say, but I wouldn't do that. You're a fool. You're a transgressor. To transgress means to rebel against what God said. Talk about innocent little children. They're the meanest little rats there was. You tell them to go north, they're going south, I guarantee it. Tell them to go east, they're going to go west. So why do they do that? It's their nature. We're rebels against the glory of God. Transgression sets the sinner up in open opposition to God. I know some wicked men and women. They shake their fist in God's face and say, if you don't like it, do something about it. And they're cocky. But they're wrong. And God will do something about it in His time. To transgress is to submit to sin and iniquity in our thoughts and in our emotions and in our practice. You have thoughts that you don't want anybody to know about. So do I. You have emotions that you don't want anybody to know about. So do I. And if you're not real careful, those thoughts and those emotions will turn into a practice that you don't want anybody to know about. This curse leaves every sinner standing before a holy God with a stained character and a condemned soul. Every one of them, without exception. They have absolutely no hope in anything they are or do. I tell you, if a Redeemer doesn't come to atone for you, you're going to be damned. There's a second thing I see in this verse. The only cure for sin is to be found in Christ. That's the only cure for all curse. The curse leaves the sinner with guilt and a stained character. Every one of them. The courts of divine justice condemn every sinner in their flesh. Every one of them. Judges sit on benches every day and they find people innocent. They sit on benches every day and they turn people loose. They sit on benches every day and say, well, now you've done some things that are wrong, but we'll put you on probation. We'll let you loose. I tell you, God don't have paroles. He doesn't have probations. It's either absolute mercy or absolute justice. I tell you, absolute mercy is pretty wonderful. And absolute justice is the most horrible thing you can imagine. The annals of history, properly revealed, show every human being to be guilty. From Adam and Eve right up to you. Humanity is filled with people who are corrupted and condemned. But Christ comes to His chosen people and He gives them pardon. Sometimes when a president's leaving office, He gives people pardon. But God's pardon's better. God's pardon forgives you of everything you've ever done wrong. It forgives you of everything you're doing wrong. And it forgives you of everything you ever will do wrong. Some people don't like that. I do too. I love it. The courts of divine justice condemn every sinner in their flesh. But Christ comes to His people and He gives them pardon. Pardon means a flow of love from the heart of God. Psalm 99:8 says, Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast the God that forgave them. Though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. The need for pardon is that all sin leads to consequences of misery. Hebrews 9:27 says, It's appointed unto men once to die. And we all deal with that. We all accept it. The problem is that's not the end of that verse. Because it goes on to say, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. I hear folks say this quite often. I know what they mean by it, but they're wrong. Somebody dies and they say, well, he's better off or she's better off. Not without Christ. You're better off to have bone cancer and live to be 250 years old than to die and go out into the wrath of God. The basis of pardon is all in God's hand. It's all in His merciful purpose. He does it. It's rooted in His love and righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. How about that? How about that? The foundation of pardon is Christ's willing. And that's important, His willing atonement for the elect. There have been wars throughout human history, and America was not the only country that did this, where people who had enough money and enough influence could hire somebody to take their place in the draft. And those men went off to fight in battles that they didn't deserve to be there. And many of them lost their lives. And the fellow they died for sitting home drinking iced tea and cookies. It doesn't work that way with God. Not at all. The foundation of our pardon is His atonement for His elect. John 1:29 says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. That verse of Scripture is special to me. That's what a man said one night and I heard it. And I heard it in a way I'd never heard it before. And I found Christ through it. Behold the Lamb of God. Christ not only gives them pardon, He also gives them cleansing. See, a lot of people get pardoned and they're not cleansed. The governor pardons somebody, and everybody that lives around him. So I don't care what the governor did. I remember when that rascal stole my trailer. I know when he stole the shoes off my horse. I know when he come and stole my goat. They remember his guilt. But God in Christ gives cleansing to His people. The reason for His cleansing is that the habits of sin are left within our flesh because of the curse of depravity. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was cursed for us. He was cursed for His covenant people. He was cursed for His redeemed. It's absolutely impossible for you to cleanse yourself. I see people sometimes in businesses, sometimes at ball games, sometimes walking the street, sometimes at McDonald's. And I tell you, the truth is, they're dirty. And I'm not overly clean. Anybody knows me knows that. I'm not one of these clean nuts. But I tell you, some folks are just dirty. A guy went by me yesterday, and I got down drift to him, and I'll tell you what, it'll turn a goat's stomach. Up myself, that old boy needs a bath badly. Take him to car wash or something. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Can he? Then you may also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You're going to do what you do. You're going to do what you do. All these people are going to make up their mind. They're going to do different. They're going to be better. I don't think so. Not according to the Word of God anyway. They're going to keep doing what they do, irregardless of what's going on. The secret of cleansing is the mediatorship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's going to give me all things. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. Am I worthy of it? Absolutely not. And neither are you. But He's going to give it to me. He removes our sin and imparts righteousness to all of His redeemed people. Titus 2:14, Paul told the young preacher who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We're peculiar people. We don't look any different than anybody else. Sometimes we don't act any different than anybody else. Sometimes we don't think any different than anybody else. But we're different. We're different. Christ imparts goodness, and He removes our evil by His grace. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You ought to smell something cooking, and it just smells so good you can't wait for supper time. Just smells so good. I was at something the other day and somebody brought a ham and it had pieces of pineapple all over it. I was in there talking to somebody and I thought, that smells so good. So they won't mind. I just reached over and got me a big piece of pineapple off that ham and ate it. It was good. It was good. It was good. I ended up not staying to eat, so that was good. That was all I got that day was a piece of pineapple. But it was good. It smelled good too. The Lord Jesus Christ takes away our evil hearts. And He gives us goodness. Here the verse, Scripture says, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity." All of it. All of it, huh? All of it. "Whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me." All our sins and all our iniquity and all our transgressions are against God. I hear folks talk about great sinners and they say, "Well, I know they're not perfect, but they don't hurt anybody." When you violate God's law and you break God's covenant, you sin against God. And if He doesn't give you mercy, there won't be any mercy. That's true, man. He cleanses His people in imputed righteousness. That word imputed means He charges it to you. The other day, I got my credit card bill and I looked on there and there was some gas. I said, "I don't remember buying that gas." And I thought, "Why is that gas on my..." I mean, "Oh yeah, Johnny borrowed my credit card and he put gas in the car. I told him to. But I forgot about it. He bought the gas, but he charged it to me. And you committed the sin, but God charged it to Christ." Listen to what it says. Ezekiel 36:25. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." I came home last night. I was sweaty and sticky and stinky. And I got up this morning, boy, took a shower. Boy, it felt so good. Zechariah 13:1 says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." A fountain. A fountain open. Wow. Hebrews 9:13 says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." How about that? How about that? He offered Himself without spot to God through the eternal Spirit. Can you imagine that? But He did. The Bible says He did. I believe the Bible. And I embrace that. He purged our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I don't serve God perfectly. I'll tell you right now, I don't. But I want to. I fail so much. And I know you're aware of it. But I'm more aware of it than you are. He has obliterated all our iniquities. You could have a discussion in here. I'd just stand up here and y'all could point at me and say, "I remember when you did this, that, or the other. I remember when you said this, that, or the other. I remember when you failed to do this, that, or the..." And you'd all be right. You know what my Father sees? "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And that's all that matters. He has purged our conscience from these dead works. He has obliterated all our iniquity, both from the principles of sin that are within our hearts and from the outward manifestations of that sin in our daily life. He did not merely pardon as to the punishment, but He also cleansed them from the pollution of guilt. The government's going crazy trying to clean up all the pollution in our planet. And they're failing terribly. And it ain't going to get any better. I read an article the other day about how terrible it would be if it had been back like it was in the 1900s when they had horses around, all the manure and stuff like that. I thought, well, you can always put manure on the fields and fertilize the fields, make them better. You can't do nothing with all the stuff we got today. God has eradicated not merely one iniquity, but all of them. You ever forgiven anybody a sin? Somebody sinned against you and you forgave them? Truth being known, well, you're conscious of it or not, inside your head and your heart, you patted yourself on the back and said, I was a good boy or a good girl. I didn't have to forgive him or her, but I did. And you smile about it. What about if next week they do the same thing? And the next week they do the same thing. And the next week they do it twice. And the next week they do it twice. And the next week they do it again. And the next week they do it twice. And the next week they do it three times. You know what I'll bet you? I'll bet you your forgiveness runs out pretty quick. The God of heaven forgives all our sin in His Son. They're paid for. They're paid for. I went to a place the other day. I went to pay them. And the lady said, you don't owe us anything. I said, do what? She said, you don't owe us anything. Yeah, I do. I owe you. No, there was a lady in here. She saw you and she paid for that. So I'll be. And it dawned on me, that's what Christ did for me. Paid for all my sins. This is what Micah said in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. He said, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will leave compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Wow. I got a friend that he used to have a big old Labrador dog. He died, but they'd take him over to the lake and they'd throw rocks in the water. That dog would dive in the water. He'd go down. However deep he had to, he'd get them rocks, he'd bring them back. I tell you, God's thrown my sins in the depths of the sea. They're not coming back. His Son paid for them. I've been washed in the blood. The greatest needs of every mortal are pardon and cleansing. That's what you need. I hope you have it in Christ. But if you don't have, there's only one place to get those things. It's in God's Son. They can only be received by trusting Him who died for His people. He did that. I tell you, we ought to rejoice daily. Because the one that died for us also lives for us. He lives for us. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I pray that God will quicken you and will give you a new spirit and a passionate desire to surrender to His Son. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. The curse and the cure. Amen.